Hi everyone, welcome back. Still more to come about media literacy. As we said, even this conference is coming from recommendation from EU and European Parliament, who recognize the need for media literacy, same as Broadcasting Act here in Ireland. So our next speaker is Imre Costello. She's MEP, and she will talk about European Parliament declaration on media literacy. So welcome, Imre.
Thank you very much. And first of all, I want to thank Mary, Jack, Sally for the invitation to be with you here this afternoon and to congratulate you on what has so far turned out to be a very interesting morning. And the previous speakers have set the bar very high, so I hope that my contribution can stimulate some discussion as well. Just maybe as well by way of reference to this morning's discussion, I just missed Harry's discussion in relation to what he said about Palestine, but maybe just to relay my own experience, because I'm chair of the European Parliament's delegation to the Palestinian Legislative Council, and I've travelled to the region, to the Middle East a few times. I've led various different European Parliament delegations. And just last week I travelled out actually on the first time ever the European Parliament actually sent an ad hoc delegation from the Foreign Affairs Committee to investigate into the condition of Palestinian prisoners who are being held in, Israeli prisons. And there were a lot of issues around that visit and trying to get it up and running. It was an historic moment that we did actually achieve in getting the visit, making sure it took place. I fractured my elbow in Brussels Airport on the way out to complicate matters even further. But when I came back with our findings, with our statement, I tried to get a media interest here in Ireland. And I have to say, nobody would cover the issues, the story. Nobody wanted to talk to me about the issues or what I had seen or what the conclusions of this ad hoc delegation were, which was in kind of stark contrast to the interest that had been shown, I suppose, maybe unsurprisingly, in the Middle East, where a lot of the news agencies and even AFP in France covered our story, but it wasn't covered here. But that's just a by the way, and to add my tuppence worth into some of the discussion this morning. And just to say then, in looking at media literacy, and if you look back sort of, you know, over the decades, and a few decades, we consumed media nearly in the same way that we consumed food. We had a blast of radio at breakfast time, newspaper sort of, you know, when you get into the office or around 11, says news headlines at lunch, and then you'd come home and you'd watch the news in the evening. And all of that has very much changed, and changed quite radically, because media now is all around us. And we consume it constantly. We consume it kind of actively and passively. We try to create it without even realising that we do, because it's on our phones, it's on our screens, it's on our cameras. And for those, I'm not sure if anybody here is one of the early innovators, but those who have invested in the latest offering from Google in terms of the Google Glasses, there's just absolutely no escaping media. But it's not just the availability of media, it's the diversity of channels that has changed as well. So, and the content has also changed. Every citizen has the power to inform or distort through a simple tweet or a post on Facebook. Many of you might have seen this week, there was actually something that I thought was quite interesting, the viral photo that went up of Michael D. Higgins, the president, as he lined up to, as he lined up at an ATM machine to make a cash withdrawal. But just one person with a smartphone captured that moment, and the result was more shares and interactions than nearly any other Irish news story received this week. And this week we had quite a lot of news, so it's interesting that that's the one that actually went viral. So with all this information churning around from all kinds of sources, it's not really very easy to try to separate the wood from the trees. Literacy was, at the beginning of the 20th century, a key phenomenon. And now I think media literacy has to be a key requisite of the 21st century, because media literacy will allow us access the media. It will allow us understand the media, have a critical approach to media, and importantly, try to help us detect bias in media. And it will help us create communications in a variety of contexts. So I want to talk about the EU competence in education, the European Parliament, and how the European agenda is unfolding on this. So the first thing that I would say in relation to that is that I would like to make as part of my contribution is that the EU's role in education is limited to encouraging cooperation between member states and, if necessary, to supporting and supplementing their action. I worked in a previous life as programme manager of LERGUS, which is the European agency that manages the European programmes in vocational training, education and youth. And it was one of the earlier treaties that gave the EU some competence in education to develop cooperation, but the EU doesn't have a direct competence in education, and any EU action in the field must respect the responsibility of member states for the content of teaching and the organisation of education systems, their cultural and linguistic diversity. But as I've said, I think it was the Amsterdam Treaty that gave the EU some competence, so that the EU has played some role in trying to develop that, and the EU has played an important role in trying to promote the concept of media literacy over the last decade or so, and I think that this is something that we could develop further. Back in 2006, the European Commission began a formal reflection on media literacy within the framework of European audiovisual policy and the then EU economic strategy, which many of you will recall was the Lisbon strategy, which said that we were going to be the most dynamic, knowledge-based economy in the world. In December 2007, the Commission issued a communication called An European Approach to Media Literacy in the Digital Environment. And this communication urged member states to promote media literacy for commercial communication covering advertising and the media in general. Then in May 2008, EU culture ministers adopted conclusions stating importantly that media literacy was a key factor for active citizenship in today's information society. Then in October 2008, the European Parliament adopted a non-binding resolution urging the European Commission to come forward with a media literacy recommendation which would be addressed to member states. So even though it was a non-binding resolution, by August 2009, the Commission had complied with the Parliament's request and presented a recommendation addressed to member states on media literacy in the digital environment for a more competitive audiovisual and content industry and an inclusive knowledge society. And that set out a series of actions that could be taken by member states to promote media literacy. Then that communication was followed in November 2009 by the adoption of council conclusions on media literacy in the digital literacy. These reaffirmed the council's commitment to media literacy and welcomed the commission's recommendation. So you can see that it's been a slow process, but that media literacy has been there on the agenda. Just then to take a look at the Audiovisual Media Services Directive and in relation to media literacy as well. Media literacy is in fact one of the key objectives of the 2007 Audiovisual Media Services Directive, which replaced the Television Without Frontiers Directive, and particularly given the challenges posed by connected TV. The line between linear and non-linear services is being blurred, and this makes it very difficult for consumers to distinguish between the different forms of media that there are and indeed the sources of their content. The introduction of media literacy training programmes to education systems is, though, still within the competence of the member states. Under Article 33 of the Media Services Directive, though, the Commission must, if necessary, present proposals to adapt the directive to developments in the field of audiovisual media services, taking into account technological developments and levels of media literacy in the Member States. That's important, but to date the Commission has not yet come forward with any proposals under Article 33. So in May 2013, the European Parliament had a resolution on the implementation of the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, stating that further efforts were needed in the field of improving media literacy among citizens, and called on the Commission and the Member States to promote media literacy for all citizens in the EU, and encouraged in particular Member States to integrate media literacy and e-skills in relation to digital media in their respective school curricula. Last August, the Commission stated that it planned to promote a debate on the role of media literacy in education through a new expert group, which would be composed of representatives of Member States, education ministers, and that it would evaluate the feasibility of a plan for assessing media literacy across Europe in cooperation with national authorities. So I have now tabled a question to the Commission as to the current situation with these plans, and will be happy to continue to work with you and communicate the replies that I get to some of the questions that I am requesting. In relation then to EU funding around media literacy as well, just to say that over the past 7 years, a number of media literacy projects have in fact received EU financial support under the Media 2007 and the Media Mundus programmes and other EU initiatives that had the objectives of analysing media representations, media values in a multimedia perspective, encouraging the production and distribution of media literacy related content, stimulating the use of media in order to improve participation in social and community life, intensifying networking around media education related issues, and concentrating on the implementation of media literacy initiatives, bridging the media industry and the education world in a type of hands-on approach. One of the programmes, and I'm sure many of you will be familiar with this, would be the Creative Europe programme, which ran from which will run from 2014 to 2020. So this is the new programme under the new MFF, the new European budget. So EU funding will continue to be available through the Creative Europe programme, which has just been agreed by the European Parliament and the Member States, and that will be starting up this year. The programme has a total budget of €1.5 billion, and it will run until 2020. And the Creative Europe programme is now made up of three main sections. There's a media sub-programme, a culture sub-programme, and then there's what's called a cross-sectoral strand. Article 15 of the Creative Europe regulation provides that in order to promote transnational policy cooperation, the cross-sectoral strand shall support, among other things, conferences, seminars, policy dialogue, including in the field of cultural and media literacy, promoting digital networking where appropriate. The European Commission has already started to issue calls under the media and culture sub-programmes, but so far it hasn't actually issued a call for proposal under the cross-sectoral strand. And again, I've tabled a question to the Commission asking them when calls for proposals in relation to media literacy could be expected. And again, I will pass on the responses that I get in relation to this to Near FM and Creole as well. Funding then in relation to media literacy may also be available under the new EU Rights and Equality Citizenship Programme, which has also been agreed by the European Parliament and the Member States governments last year. This programme has a total budget of €440 million and again will run until 2020. And indeed, civil society organisations interested in media literacy were able in the past to find support under the previous EU citizenship programme in the forms of structural support for civil society organisations, and similar supports should be made available under this new programme. And I would also say that it would be worth our while and your while maybe entering into partnership with schools in relation to the new, what's called Erasmus for All programme, because there are various different strands in that, from the school, the old Comenius programme, which was the school education strand, the adult education strand, which was formerly known as Grundtvig, and indeed the school education strand had a schools e-twinning programme, which was very successful. And I think that there's the possibility for schools to link up with other organisations, and I think that that's something that I would actually maybe encourage you to do, to maybe develop media literacy programmes in that way as well through the Erasmus for All. So in relation then to the recommendation on key competences for lifelong learning, in 2006 the European Parliament and the Council adopted a recommendation which was addressed to Member States in relation to key competences for lifelong learning. And the objective of this recommendation was to provide a common European reference framework on key competences to ensure that education and training systems offer all young people the means to develop key competences to a level that equips them for further learning and adult life. And also that would provide coherent, comprehensive lifelong learning for adults, making them able to develop and update their key competences. The recommendation identified 8 key competences: communication in the mother tongue, communication in foreign languages, mathematics, basic competences in science and technology, digital competence, learning to learn, social and civic competences, initiatives in entrepreneurship, cultural awareness and expression. The section on digital competence does require and state that the use of information society technology requires a critical and reflective attitude towards available information and responsible use of interactive media, but it doesn't make any specific recommendations in relation to media literacy. I'll be about one more minute. So this section on digital competence doesn't state that the use of information society doesn't make any specific recommendations in relation to media literacy. And I know that this is a specific concern to Creole and to the in relation to this conference. So I do believe that it is time that we need to review and update this recommendation, particularly by including and by making media literacy a key competence. And I have raised this matter with the Commission, and again, I will be reporting back. But I think that, you know, you will be having a debate on this later yourselves, and you will be trying to progress this agenda. And what I would say to you is that with whatever texts you adopt today, that I would be very happy to support you in that. Some general issues in conclusion in relation to media literacy. At national level, the 2009 Broadcasting Act set out a very clear definition of media literacy. And while that act is now under the spotlight for areas of reforms and adjustment, I do believe that the emphasis on media literacy should be maintained within that. At the outset of what I started to say, I raised the issue of the many different multiple media platforms that exist, the range of sources that actually create media. And in this new world, I believe that it is very important that broadcast media must play a very important role. Broadcast media must be a trusted and accessible media so that media consumers can get the best in news, entertainment and content. Media literacy is absolutely essential to this. The Broadcasting Act, in its definition, recognises the special place of communities in creating media. And community radio, to this end, has an important community service and community engagement function. It has a role in producing content and can have a significant capacity to influence the community in a media-saturated world, and it is important that community broadcasting will still prevail. So I know that by virtue of you hosting this event here today, I know that you know, understand and value the importance of media literacy and your role in being agents in promoting media literacy. Under the umbrella of Creole, I think significant efforts have been made to educate community broadcasters on the issue of media literacy and how it can be realised. So I congratulate all of you. I know you've come from all over the country. Many of you work in this sphere in a voluntary capacity in community radio, and many of you
certainly I think people who are involved in community radio are really at the coal face of what's happening in their communities, and I really do commend you for that. I have always had a really good relationship with Near FM, and I've always enjoyed, as a public representative, engaging with Near FM, going out and talking to them about the issues that I have been interested in engaging in. And unfortunately, because Near FM were the brunt of the Broadcasting Authority's regulation and decision in relation to Palestine, I know that it is not Near FM's fault that I haven't been invited out to Near FM to discuss the findings as to what happened on our fact-finding mission in relation to Palestinian prisoners. But I do congratulate all of you for being leaders, for being champions, and for giving me this opportunity to participate in your event, to say that, as you know, there are European elections coming up. This is an area that I am particularly focused on, and if re-elected to the European Parliament, I would certainly be happy to drive forward the community agenda and the media literacy agenda in the European Parliament and at European level and at national level. And whatever I can do, I've said to the organisers that I'm happy to work with you, and particularly in terms of working with Minister Rabbit and lobbying Minister Rabbit on some of your key issues as well, and will be communicating my remarks today to Minister Rabbit as well. So thank you all very much for your attention.
Thank you, Emer. I will just... Sorry, is this yours?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just to introduce myself again, my name is Irena Cvetković, and I was doing my master's research in contribution of community radio to media literacy. And talking now how EU Parliament recognized media literacy and formulated even the word of media literacy, I mean, community radio is doing that for decades, access to media and creating a message. So that's why we have that pivotal role into implement media literacy. And in one way, how much this institutionalized definitions and recommendation are helping us, I just want to show you how we are actually working on the ground. Because we have to make those people like Vincent Brown and Frank Connolly, like we are living totally in the world of indifference. So we have to kind of bring generations to think properly and to, you know, seek the truth and to read through media, because they are totally only consumers for them. I just want to reflect for one sentence that I... without any official program of how to do it, or without any funding, community radio already starts a media literacy in schools. There's nothing in the law with the schools or with other institutions that schools should take on board media literacy training. But we tried. We went to school. We went to transition year students and to a first year. And we try to do some kind of training. And I have to tell you, as an experience, of course you can't go in and tell 13-year-old boys like what is Fleck or, you know, who is Noam Chomsky. So I think we should gather all the experience on the ground and make some kind of common ground how to approach media literacy to our future generation, because they are the most important ones. So by the time we can't really wait for all these regulations and all these recommendations to live a life. We have to go. And I have to tell you, there is a big need for media literacy in schools. Our young generation, they are very bright, they are very clever, but at the same time, very indifferent. So we have to make them think. And media literacy is not a passing out knowledge from a teacher to students. It's total interaction with a group. It's sharing experience. It's learning about media within media. So we respect what they're listening, what they want to. We are just there to channelize them and to actually teach them how to think. So if you have any questions about it, and we can talk about this later, we have to move on. We have to discuss on CRAIL Media Literacy Action Plan, and that is Jack Byrne, former president of AMERC Europe, and pioneering, may I say, pioneer in this very segment of media literacy. After that, we have question and answer. And if you have any question, maybe about my experience, you can ask. And then launch of the series Europe on Air. So, Jack, just take on board.
It's not easy. Leave me alone. Who are you people? Okay, where are we? Okay, so Eimear has already touched on this. So just briefly, just to say, and he picked up the wrong piece of paper. That's for Dermot when I see him, where he keeps dodging me. Basically, the EU, as Eimear has outlined, there has been a process, a slow process, of recognising media literacy as an important component of European citizenship. And I've just been asked to facilitate a small discussion with you around an aspect of CREAL's approach to this. But before I start, we have some members of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland here. Don't all boo together, that are fine. They're our friends, and I just want to acknowledge here publicly that the BA have funded CREAL's media literacy activities and have been very generous in funding our activities. So a lot of the stuff we do around media literacy, we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of the BAI. And the other thing, on a more personal, near level, just to say to Eimear, don't be concerned. The voice of the Palestinians has not been silenced on Near FM and won't be silenced on Near FM. And we would welcome you whenever you're ready to come out and we will talk about the issue, okay? Now to the housekeeping. Basically, you all got coming in a sheet that was with the agenda, and it was the CREAL Media Literacy Conference, Dublin, March 2014. I know you've all read it, okay. Basically what we're trying to do, this is an abridged version of a much longer, turgid EU document, which, for my sins, I read, it's about 10 pages long, and it's whereas and wherefore and heretofore, and if any of you try to read EU, Eimear lives with it, I know, but they're difficult documents to read through and comprehend. So what we've done here is we were interested in this because the document, nevertheless, as it was making its way through the EU, did acknowledge the existence of community media as one of the mediums that would be used to develop media literacy. So we've taken that and we've been on to the woman, the EU Commissioner for Media Literacy, that addressed us earlier. Her office are interested in our deliberations this morning, and if we will adopt this declaration, we've to forward it next week to the office, and they will sort of process this, and it will reinforce Eimear's activities as well. So the idea is, if you want, I'll read it all to you. If you've read it, fine. Basically, it's the wording is abridged, but it is the wording of the EU document. We didn't write this, we just edited it, picked out the bits that we felt were... So we're not introducing to the EU new language, new proposals. They've already agreed these paragraphs, okay? We're just drawing attention to the ones that we believe are important, that acknowledge the existence of community media and the importance of community media. I have been informed, by the way, though, that if you look at the bottom of the page, have everybody got it out so you know what I'm talking about? The bottom of it is the current, and Eimear has already read it to you. There is a document that approved the EU reference framework of 8 key competences for lifelong learning. That's, at the moment, I'm sort of assured that's nearly locked, it's nearly sealed, that's it. That's the EU has spoken and moved on, okay? But there is a groundswell of interest in adding media literacy as a 9th key competence. And I think as community media activists, we really should be proposing this, because I believe media literacy would actually enhance all of those other competences. So that's the sort of case we're making. The community media sector across Europe are also, by the way, looking at these 8 key competences, and we're about to embark on research, and we believe it will show the EU that community media is best placed to deliver these competences to European citizens. Other media won't be interested. So we're trying to position ourselves that community media is recognised as a key ally of those people within the EU who want to develop this type of citizenship and lifelong learning. And we're saying to them, and you need to add media literacy as a 9th key competence, because it will speed up and enhance the work of the other competences. Okay? So does anybody want to ask me from the paragraph, rather than read it all at you again, has anybody bothered the time to read it, or will I just flick through it quickly? The first one is, recognising the importance of media education, we believe that the European approach... Now, this is not our word, by the way. This, we're paraphrasing what the EU is already saying internally to itself. The European approach intended to foster media literacy needs to be more clear and must include specific support for traditional media, particularly community media. We didn't make that up. They've already acknowledged that and said that, okay? So we're building on that and we're saying, here we are, and we in Ireland, through CRAIL, are interested in working with you in developing community media, and we want it acknowledged and included as a ninth key competence, okay? So rather than labour the point with you, I mean, if you want, I'll open it up now if anybody wants to ask any questions, but I'm going to go quickly to asking for a show of hands on this. So anybody want to ask any questions around it? I'm like a car salesman, don't read the small print, just sign here. Anybody want to ask me anything else? I'm hoping someone will, because I love being up here. No? Oh, yes, Bruce.
I noticed that one of the competences mentioned is entrepreneurship. I was wondering why haven't they included trade union education? Or is it only from the business side?
Well, look, these are some of my problems with the EU, that it is. And in fact, I nearly got bet up by two women from at a conference recently where I talked... The media literacy, as starting to be defined by the EU, is all about consumers protecting themselves. And to me, that sounds like the EU regulators are pulling back. And if you want to protect yourself as consumers, be media literate. And it looks to me like the EU is delegating responsibility for your own consumer needs to the consumers, which I don't think is a good place to be. But it's the marketplace and entrepreneurship. Well spotted, but I agree with you. I'm not that comfortable with that, because you're right, some of these key competencies don't look at citizenship really or trade unionism. It's very much an entrepreneur oriented body. Yes?
Just number five,
what
it says, media education.
Yeah.
Just wondering, should that be media education?
They tend to call it media education, so we can change it. Yeah, I can. Yeah. It's interchangeable. In the UK, they really talk about media education when they're talking about what we understand as media literacy. So it's just another term for the same thing. And the EU seem to be using them both interchangeably. Sometimes they talk about media education and sometimes media literacy. And I think it's the same thing they're talking about. But yeah, I mean, we can add it in to be sure. We'll do the belt and braces on it. I'll put it in. Okay, is everybody happy that I put that in there? Okay. Sorry, there's someone down the back there, yeah.
I suppose just the discussion about media literacy also, and following on from earlier conversations, makes me think about the idea of funding literacy, and that there seems to be a lot of great programs available that, as Costello's mentioned, there's often a kind of disconnect between, let's say, community radio or different individual groups getting the information about funding they can access. So I suppose in terms of, number one, and say specific support, that it would be kind of explicit that there's direction given in terms of what programs and how to access them.
Resource. Okay. I look at this again. It may actually say somewhere else about the resources, but we should add it into our declaration anyway. Sorry, I know. I was just going to repeat the question over here. I was just responding first, then I'm coming. We're talking about resourcing this, you know, looking at resourcing, and the speaker is suggesting that EMER may be able to help and advise on resources that and funding projects and programs that would be available. So I'm suggesting we add that into our declaration that if they accept that media literacy is important, that they also resource it, because they will need to resource it.
Well, not so much. It seems there are resources there, but it's just the information that it's readily, kind of, it's that it's a communication way that is available or
yeah. No, I take your point, and I think we'd have agreed with EMER that EMER will certainly advise CRAIL on funding opportunities as they arise, okay? Okay, thank you. Yes.
I heard earlier on about the programme in schools, which is formal education. Now, Vincent earlier on reminded us that education takes place possibly only about 4 months onwards. Now, unless I'm missing it, I haven't seen a reference to the program outside the schools. For example, since a lot of the concern expressed in society is about children's access to all kinds of information, and it is also children spend a lot of time outside the school mm-hmm. than in the school.
Yeah.
Is there any attempt or kind of intent to involve bodies such as, and Emma was talking about her work with Veritas, the youth sector, so out of school, and for example, even parents, like the parents associations,
yeah,
that kind of a group who would have a lot more contact with young people.
Okay. Just quickly, just we're talking about media literacy outside of the formal school system. Are there other opportunities, and should we be looking at education for children and adults in different sort of venues? Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So, well, just to remind you, this document you're going to approve shortly, it mentions here. It should be delivered in places where they naturally convene. This is European citizens. And it says local schools, social and recreation centres, and the various citizens' communities. And community media is best placed to achieve this action. Now, we added in that last bit. But the EU in this document is talking about media literacy being delivered formally and informally in any centre or gathering venue for citizens, young or older. So it's in the document. And we're saying then resource community media, because we're best placed to do this. Yes?
Yeah, the spreading media literacy through people, I wonder, in terms of lifelong learning, People's College here could be an area, and a lot of their courses to put in a module or a lecture or a reference to media literacy.
No, it's a good, very good point. Yeah, and I think you probably all heard that anyway. Basically, I would say to you, CREAL has no resources, has a willingness, but I agree that if we're going to develop a broad media literacy programme, we need to look at all of those, and we need to be working. We need to find alliances with other educational groups, citizens' organisations, people's colleges. We need to work with them so we share the resources and the work. But the target of CREAL, I think of the three media sectors, public, commercial and community. Community media seems to be the most interested in media literacy. It's a natural part of what we're trying to do rather than the commercial or public service people. So it's an adjunct of what we want to do. We want listeners and viewers of community media and broader media to be more literate in critiquing and judging their media. So the idea for CREAL is, as we get resources and supports, we will broaden out the range of activities on media literacy.
And I would just add that, like, it's about taking initiative. Sometimes we don't need all of this. Like, kind of, I know my radio is doing media literacy courses just around radio with different groups, with marginalized groups. We are organizing a summer camp for kids where we are doing media literacy. So we are doing that without kind of anything. It is taking initiative and working on.
We do it, by the way, and most community radio stations now do it, when people get the induction, what is community media, there's a media literacy module there. So they get at least one evening, 2-hour session on explaining media literacy. Isn't that right, Dorothy?
Yes.
No.
Sorry, I have to leave, but can I say that I'm just going to leave some of my own business cards here. I'd certainly be happy to work with any of you just in terms of the EU funding opportunities that might be available. So if any of you want to send me an email about that, I'd be happy to follow up with any of you on that. And as I say, just because I spent 10 years working in Lurgis, it's an area where I have some expertise, I think. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian. So, anybody else, anything else to say, or can I ask you to adopt this declaration? Sorry, there is somebody else. Yeah, sorry.
Just in terms of talking about traditional media, do you think you should have something in there about social media and, you know, the idea that...
I think that's in already. I think this document, we were trying to focus on community media.
But I think the thing about radio now is that, as opposed to it being a dead media as such, is the very, you know, the statistics are showing that the fact that people download sort of podcasts, you know, that you can create small radio pieces on your iPhone now, but somehow that has to be worked into a policy for media agency for schools.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think no, it's probably in the longer 10-page document. I'm sure they've looked at social media. So we will certainly. This is probably a work in progress. I mean, what I'm saying to you is, if you prove the document in principle, I will work with Crail and we'll add in some of these and we'll look at social media. I'm sure it's already in. I'm trying not to reinvent language or topics that they haven't already approved, but I think we can work within their text to get a document that will suit us. Okay, I'll add that in. Does somebody else there want to say something? No. Somebody else want to?
Sorry, it was on a similar point with social media. I think if you have a number one, you have for traditional media, even if you just have in for traditional and social media.
Okay.
All their policies are based around that.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing I suggest you might add in, you can find with them later. Because I come from that background, a doctor of media literacy, I would have analysed all of the kind of policy documents. It's things like democratic participation, and why even for media literacy initiatives to enable greater democracy.
Right.
There are diverse voices.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay.
The alternative voices. The reason why you're running the media literacy initiatives are to create alternative voices and more diverse kind of perspectives on the issues.
We probably could put some of that in as a preamble to this. You know what I mean? But you're right. We should reaffirm why we're all here. Why we're bothering to do all of this community media is because we believe in diversity and democracy. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody over in the servants' quarters want to speak? We're going to close the door. I'm going to close the door before we vote because they don't get a vote. No? Oh, there's someone at the back, yeah. There's always one. There's always a servant.
I was wondering, perhaps specifically, if it's not done in the classroom because there is
a good point. Yeah, and I think it's... But these are bigger issues for Crail to start talking to the Department of Education about some of these programmes. I know the newspaper group are this year doing a media literacy programme. I think it's within the transition year, but there's a start being made there, you know. But I think there is room for community media to also make its presence felt within the educational sphere. Okay, are we happy? It's just, I don't want to hold you up, and we've still another few bits and pieces, and we've Pascal to talk to as well. Can I ask just, it looks like we're going to add a few words to it, but if you're generally happy with the thrust of it, I would ask you just to approve this declaration. Can I have a show of hands? Anyone against? I'm sure there's a malcontent in there. No. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That's my bit, and I hand you back to the chair. Thank you very much.